I invite you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to share with you some thoughts this afternoon from this passage because as I was studying this text here and the book of Thessalonians for our ministry in Texas while we were there, I came across these thoughts in chapter 2 that I hadn't seen before. So the Lord blessed me with these, and I want to share this with you this afternoon. I'll be reading chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, and then we'll have a prayer, and then we'll take a look at it. Chapter 2 begins, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our gospel to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, but as we were allowed of God, or approved of God, to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tries our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you became dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of our God." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you might open our understanding to the word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us into his truth, and that we would be blessed and challenged and taught and ministered to in ways, Lord, that only your Holy Spirit can do in our lives. We thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for so much rich treasure in this book. We pray now that you would open it to us and speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit and empower me so that I might present to these folks gathered here this afternoon this word from you that it would bless our hearts and, Lord, convict us and challenge us and move us to live for you. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you take a look in chapter 2, I want to point out three verses in this chapter where Paul uses the same phrase from which I want to get the 3 points of this message this afternoon. In chapter 2, you'll notice verse 2 where Paul is writing, he said, "But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our gospel," notice, "to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." He said, "We spoke unto you the gospel of God in the midst of much contention." Then if you move down to verse 8, Paul is writing here, continuing on, and he says, "So we were affectionately desirous of you. We were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God, but our own souls as well." So not only was Paul speaking the gospel, verse 2, he was imparting or sharing the gospel, verse 8. And then in verse 9, he goes on to say, "You remember our labor and our travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." So he talked about speaking the gospel, he talks about imparting the gospel, he talks about preaching the gospel. And when I saw those three phrases used in this text, I began to think about them and examine them and came up with these particular items that I want to share with you this afternoon about our witness. When I hear the word witness, I tend to think of one way of witnessing, and that is finding someone who's lost, getting the opportunity to open the scripture with them, demonstrate to them how that they're lost, they need a Savior, and that Jesus is the one. That's my idea of witnessing. And of course, that is a biblical idea. But here I found in chapter 2 that Paul begins by expressing to these Thessalonians the fact that when he came to Thessalonica, he did preach and he did impart. But one of the things that he did in verse 2 says, he said, "We were bold in our gospel to speak unto you the gospel of God." The word he uses here is a word that's translated in the New Testament many times, and it just means to converse. It means to talk to people. There's no preaching here. There's no imparting in the sense of trying to convince someone of something. This is just conversation. And so the first thing that I notice here that Paul tells us about our witness is that we can start off with just talking to people. just conversing with him. We don't have to come in with the Bible and begin to try to convince them and try to get them saved. All we have to do is be willing to converse. And that's what he's talking about here. We were willing, he said, and we were bold in our God to speak unto you, to just talk to you about the gospel. Remember, Paul was a tent maker. That was his business. And I can imagine that in Paul's shop or the shop that he worked in, as people came in to either get their tents mended or perhaps buy new tents or whatever their business may have been, when they came to his shop, I'm sure that at some time and somewhere or another, Paul conversed to these folks about the gospel. He just talked about the things of the Lord. And he probably just talked about his own testimony and his own faith. I remember having some soldiers in Hanau, Germany back in the mid-70s who became believers, Christians. And they were young men and they were zealous and energetic and they wanted to witness to everyone, but they couldn't really do it on the job. They were in the army and they had things to do. But they began to discover what they could do was talk to each other about the gospel, about Jesus. And some of their friends would overhear them, and that then gave opportunity to move on to another step in witnessing. But they just talked about the things of the Lord. Paul says here he did it with confidence. He was bold in God to do that. And you and I need, I think, that kind of boldness in our own life to speak about the gospel to others. As a matter of fact, Paul prayed and requested prayer for himself in Ephesians chapter 6. He says here in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he gets very specific prayer requests for himself. He says, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak the same word, speak boldly, as I ought to speak. Paul said, I want you to pray for me that I will speak boldly the gospel of God in every situation, wherever I find myself. And how easy it would be for us as Christians when we find ourselves just in conversation. Think of all the topics that we talk about during the day. The weather, politics, parents, children, business. I mean, think of all the conversations that you and I have during the day, and how easy it is, if we really pray about this and we ask God to give us boldness, that we can bring in the gospel in those conversations. If we're talking about the United States of America and all the evil and all the things that are happening and all the disasters and all the terrible things, it's easy to bring the gospel in there because it's a result of sin. So we can talk about the gospel without necessarily trying to convince people to be saved. That comes later, but we can at least bring it up and talk in confidence about the things of the Lord. Instead of being silent, instead of only talking about the things of this world, we can talk about the things of God. When I go down to Greenville twice a week to work with our chaplain agency, I usually stop by the Atlanta Bread Company just outside of Greenville on the way into town. And I go in there and I get a cup of coffee and usually a muffin. And that's breakfast. And I was in there one Tuesday morning and I was sitting there drinking my coffee, finishing off my muffin. I looked across the way and there was a man sitting there and he had a hat on and it said Navy across the top. And I thought, oh, this guy probably is in retired Navy. So I'll go meet him. So I walked over there and had my cup of coffee and I said, hi, are you retired from the Navy? And he said, no, I just have a lot of hats with different things on them. I said, well, I thought you were retired. I said, I'm a retired Army chaplain. He said, oh, are you really? I said, can I sit down and have a cup of coffee? And he said, sure. And then we began to talk and he says, well, what brings you down here to Greenville? I told him I lived up here in the Hendersonville area. He says, well, what brings you here to Greenville? And we were just having a conversation. And I said, well, I come here twice a week. I work with this chaplain agency. We have chaplains in the military who preach the gospel and they're trying to win soldiers and sailors and Marines and Air Force personnel to the Lord. Now I brought in the gospel. I brought in talking about the gospel to see what his reaction would be. And his reaction was, there was no reaction. It was like neutral. He had nothing else to say about that. And we talked some more. Well, little by little, I've been able to move a few notches closer fully witness to him. But the first step was just sitting down with a cup of coffee and talking to this man and bringing in something about the gospel. Now, we can all do that. And that's what Paul is saying here. He asked for prayer that he would have the boldness to do that. But not only that, he goes on in verse 4, uses the same word again. He says, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so, we speak. He said, God has entrusted us with the gospel. And God has approved us and given us this wonderful message. And he said, it's been entrusted to us. Therefore, we have some responsibility. So not only was he requesting and praying for confidence, but he was very conscientious in his dealing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was aware that God had given him salvation. And he wanted to bring that up and speak of that in almost every situation. He was put in trust with the gospel. And that's us. We've been entrusted with a wonderful message of the gospel because we've been saved. We know that our sins are forgiven. We know that we have eternal life. We know that we have a relationship with God through Christ. We know that we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And there are people all around us every day in our life who don't have that at all. They may have churchianity. They may be trying to live a good life. They may be having some kind of religious experience. But they never have fully understood what the gospel of God is. And Paul says here, first of all, he said, we came to you and we spoke to you the gospel of our God. I want to challenge you and myself to think about that this week. When you're having a conversation, pray and ask God to give you, as well as me, the opportunity to talk about the gospel of God and see where it leads. It may not go anywhere. It may fall on deaf ears. But at least we're doing it because we know that we can do it in confidence in God, and we can do it because we've been entrusted with his gospel. Well, we skip down to verse 8 now, and we see a little bit more energy and a little bit more direct message here as we see what Paul says. He goes on to say to the Thessalonians, we became affectionately desirous of you, and we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel of God, but our own souls as well. A little bit stronger word. This is the word that's a strengthened, it's a strengthened verb that means to give, but it's a strengthened to the extent that it means to give or to share that which you own, that which is special to you. The Greek word means that you have something that's yours, that's special to you, that's important to you, but somebody else has a need and you're willing to share with that person. For example, it's used in Luke chapter 3 and verse 11. Jesus was teaching and he said to his disciples, whoever has two coats, let him share with that one who has none. It's the word used there. Let him share. Let him give to that person who has none. And whoever has food, let him do likewise. So Jesus is using it in the literal sense of saying, if you have two coats and you see one person who has no coats, share from your resources with that individual. Share the thing which you have, which you own, which is yours, but they have a need that you're willing to give. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 in that scripture. He says that we are those who were stealing are to stop stealing and to start working. And he says, in order that you may have to give to him who has need. Those in the Ephesian church who were stealing, Paul said, stop. Instead, get a job. And as a result of having a job, you will make money and you'll have resources so that you can give, share, impart to that one who has a need. That's the word he's using here. So Paul is telling us here, as he's writing to the Thessalonians and reminding them, that he had a passion about sharing the gospel. It wasn't something that was secondary in his heart and his mind. It was something that he wanted to share with others because it was so precious to him and so important to him. He wanted others to know about it, and he talks about it here in the sense of saying, we were willing to have imparted unto you, to share with you, to give to you, this passion about sharing the gospel information or facts. Because it is important that we share the truth. It is important that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God. There are a lot of gospels out there today. There's a gospel of good works, where people tell each other, well, if you're just good enough and you try hard enough and you're sincere, then surely God will accept you. And when you get to heaven, you know, you stand there and St. Peter's there and he's got this great big scale and he puts all your good works on one side and all your evil deeds on the other side. And whichever way the thing, you know, balances, then you either go or no go. You're either in or you're out. You're up or down. And some people have committed to believing that foolishness. It's really foolish because it's too late once you get there. What if you missed getting into heaven by one good work? What a shame that would be. So there are many gospels out there. There's another gospel that takes the gospel of Jesus Christ and eliminates a few things out of it. For example, some people want to preach only that God loves us and He wants to save us, but they don't want to ever talk about sin. They don't want to discuss the fact that we're sinners and that we've broken God's commandments and we deserve His eternal judgment, but by His grace we're saved through faith and not of ourselves. And so Paul himself understood this, and you remember the text in Galatians chapter 1 where he said, if anybody else comes to you and preaches any other gospel other than what we have preached to you, let him be damned. Paul was passionate about the contents of the gospel. No compromise, no watering down, no leaving things out. As a matter of fact, the angels came to the shepherds, you remember, on that Christmas Eve, and it said to them, announced to them, we bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ, person and work, the content of the gospel are important. And we need to make sure that we have that correct and that we share that passionately with people to tell them the truth of the Scripture. But there is more than that in this verse. Paul says, we were willing not only to have imparted unto you the gospel of God, but look, notice what he says, but also our own souls, our own lives. So not only do we have to have passion about sharing the gospel facts, we also need to have compassion about sharing the gospel with our feelings. In other words, we're not just dispensing information to people that we don't know or care about. Paul cared very much for those to whom he was preaching and teaching and sharing the faith. As a matter of fact, he said in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is they might be saved. Those are words of compassion. Paul cared. He cared for the lost. He was concerned for the lost. He realized that without Christ, they would be doomed forever in the place called hell. And it moved him with compassion and concern. He was not only sharing the gospel facts, he was sharing those with compassion because he loved those people and he gave his heart to them. That's what he says here. We gave you our own souls because you became dear unto us. Do we really care? Do we really have compassion for lost people? Do we really care that they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking only about those who are in South America or in foreign fields across the world. I'm talking about people that we work with right here and now that we know. Relatives, friends, neighbors, people that are next door to us and who work with us and so on. This is one of the great movements that the church has been successful in because of compassion. Jesus had compassion on the multitudes because they were as a sheep having no shepherd. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. And though it is though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Those are words of compassion. We need to have compassion for the lost because without Christ, they're going to a Christless eternity. Where does that compassion come from? It's not something we just drum up on our own and feel sorry for people. It comes because the Holy Spirit works in us and because we spend time in the Word and we get the heart of God and we ask God for that and pray for it. It's so easy for us to be busy about everything else and not pay attention to those around us who are lost. And therefore, we become sort of callous to the fact that they're lost people and they need to be saved. But God wants us to have a compassion for the lost. Aren't you glad this afternoon somebody cared about you? Somebody cared enough to tell you the story, whether it was a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a vacation Bible school, a friend, a parent, somebody gave you the message of the gospel because they cared enough to share that with you. And you and I have that responsibility, and we also have that privilege. It's a privilege to tell people the truth. It's a privilege to tell people that God can save them and will save them, and He does save them. Well, we move to the third thing, and that is found in verse 9. Paul says, remember, brethren, our travail and our labor. We labored night and day because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. So we preached unto you the gospel of God. Not only did he speak about the gospel, not only did he impart the gospel, but he preached it. Now, not all of us are, of course, called to be preachers in that sense. Paul was a preacher. He was called to be a preacher. He knew he had been ordained as a preacher, as he said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. But the word that he uses here is a word that means to proclaim. It means to announce. It's the word that is used in the New Testament as a herald, as the one who came to town, gathered the people at the town square, unrolled the scroll and said, "Thus saith the king." That was the herald. And he announced the message that the king was sending to the people. He didn't write the message. He didn't have to change it in any way. His responsibility was to simply say, "Thus saith the king." These are his words. And you and I, as we proclaim Jesus Christ, we don't have to make up a message. We have a message. As a matter of fact, we don't need to change the message at all. And so it is, as this herald stood before the people and announced the king's words, you and I have the opportunity and the privilege to do the same. Now, Paul was a preacher, as I said. And in Acts chapter 17, when he came to Thessalonica, he came to the synagogue, the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 17. And there, verse 2 says, "As his manner was, he went in unto them, and three Sabbath days he reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ needed to suffer, be risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." He had a message. And the message was the message that this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not want to hear sound doctrine." So the preacher is a man called of God into the world to stand up publicly and in this method of announcing the truth of God. I remember years ago in the military chaplaincy, there was a period of time in the mid-1970s, I think it was, when our military chaplains were being sent to schools and we were going to training conferences and so on. And one of the things that was very clear, the message was very clear then, is that preaching in sense of chaplains is past. Preaching is not where it is. And so there was almost a ridicule of chaplains who were known as preachers by many other chaplains. Well, fortunately, that passed. And after a little while, the Army chaplaincy got smart because, not because they went to the Word, but because several senior military officers, general officers, were going to military chapels to church. And they would go to Sunday morning service, and they would sit down in the service, and the chaplain would get up to preach. And his message was so empty, and his delivery was so lousy, that the generals began to complain. And they went to the Army Chief of Chaplains, and they said, "Why don't you have chaplains who can preach? Why are you putting men in the pulpits in military chapels who, one, don't have a message, and secondly, can't even say what they want to say?" And so the Army Chief of Chaplains then began to have to change his approach, philosophy, and realize what we need are chaplains who can preach. Now, unfortunately, not all chaplains who can preach the right message, just like all preachers in this town don't preach the right message. And so Paul was very much aware that God had called him to preach, and his method was delivering the message. There was no discussion. It wasn't a matter of sitting down over a cup of coffee and going back and forth. It wasn't a matter of just talking about the gospel. He was proclaiming the message. And his manner, of course, was that he went forth with the boldness and the confidence in God because of that message. The message has power. Hazel and I have seen it over and over again, and many of you as well. I know you've seen that the message of the gospel is life-changing. It's life-changing. It's changed our lives. It changes people today, even though sometimes we wonder if the gospel has any effect any longer. It seems like people have heard so much, especially here in the South. They've heard this on the radio and the television, and it's just part of the culture. They seem to be it just runs off their back. But the message is powerful because it's a message of God's gospel. And we need to preach it with proper content and with deep conviction to proclaim it to a lost world. Now, one of the things that I want to finish here is to say this. No matter how devout we are, no matter how much we converse, no matter how much we share, no matter how much we preach, Paul summed it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's what he said. Some plant, some water, and God gives the increase. So whether we converse every day the gospel, whether we impart every day the gospel, whether we preach the gospel, ultimately it's God who brings salvation to that person. It's not us. It's Him. But you and I can be partners with God in evangelism. We can be partners with God in presenting the gospel in all of these ways, conversing, sharing, preaching. And when we do that and we're faithful to do that, God then gives the increase and people are saved. And what a blessing that is to see lives changed. So I want to challenge you this week, and I'm challenging myself as well. I'm asking God to give me the opportunity to converse, to share, and preach. Now, you don't have to ask to preach if God hadn't called you to preach, but in a sense, proclaiming Christ is the same for all of us. But God will give us opportunity if we ask Him and rely upon Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God and for the truth of the message. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us this message of the gospel, that it is Yours. You are the source of it. You are the authority behind it. It's not us. But, Lord, You've chosen to use men and women like us to be ambassadors, to go forth to talk about the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've given us opportunity to share that message with others, to actually show them from the Scripture how they can be saved. And, Lord, You've called us to be preachers, to be announcers of this great message. Lord, I pray that this week, as we go from day to day, that You would remind us how that we can speak of Your Word, speak of the things of God in any conversation. Lord, people talk about whatever they want to. People talk about the things that are important to them and close to their heart. Help us to have that relationship with You so we will talk about You and the things of God. And then, Lord, I pray that You would also give us opportunity to go further. As we talk with people, Lord, that You would open their hearts, that we can share with them the message, because we love them, we're concerned for them, we care for them. And Father, continue to bless this ministry and this church and the preaching of Your Word here and other places around this community and around the world where men stand up and proclaim the message of Christ. Thank You for Your goodness to us and for this time today. In Jesus' name, amen.